is Michael Johnson, and we're here
at CES 2007 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm here with Randy Studi, who works in the gaming strategy department at Intel. Welcome to the podcast, Randy.
Thank you.
So we're in a really interesting area. We're looking at a pretty fascinating game. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about what we're looking at, and we'll talk about some of the stuff in the background.
Well, for your gamer audience, this is one of the most highly anticipated games for 2007. It's called Hellgate London. It comes from Flagship Studios, a partner of Intel's. We're working with them on multi-core enabling this title. So consumers who are purchasing dual and quad-core PCs with the latest and greatest graphics in them will enjoy this game in the year to come here.
Yeah, we're just talking to a gentleman who was just testing out the game, and he noticed already that there are some certain signature touches in this game. This game has a pretty rich legacy.
Yeah, Bill Roper, the founder of Flagship Studios, is formerly with Blizzard Entertainment, and while he was at Blizzard, he was responsible for the development efforts around StarCraft and Warcraft and ultimately World of Warcraft. So it has that same touch, and someone who's familiar with those games will recognize the Hellgate user interface right away.
Now, tell me a little bit about some of the background, what's driving this. I mean, to really make this game really fully what it is, you're going to need some pretty significant processing power.
You do, but at the same time, you know, the gamers who play PC games are somewhat different than the console, or at least their appetite for gaming is a little bit different than it is for console. This is an online world. Okay? PC gamers clamor to play online because they want to get online. They want to not only get the whole gaming experience, but they want to play against other people. And PCs are uniquely positioned to do this because it connects so well to the internet. And the people who play these games are very comfortable with doing online chat, online talk at the same time that they're playing games. And the depth of content that's available on these games is just second to none. You know, the upgrades, the patches, the new revisions to the games. It's an amazing environment for, you know, a long-lasting love affair with games. And you see this with titles like World of Warcraft, where 7 million people are playing this game worldwide because it's so deep and so rich in content. You don't find that in a console title anywhere.
How long has this game been being developed? How long has Bill been working on this?
I can't really speak for Bill, but I believe it's, you know, the typical game development cycle is 2 years, and I think they've been at it for that long.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think are some of the things that people are going to be most excited about dealing with this game? I mean, just looking at it right now, the graphics are really, really rich and really full. The motion, the rendering, everything is pretty amazing.
It's a genre-busting game, more so than anything else. It's a role-playing game. And they call it a massively multiplayer role-playing game, but it doesn't require a subscription. At least that's the plan as of right now, as I understand it. And it also, it allows you to scroll into first-person shooter mode. So as you're taking on all of the undead creatures in this game, you're able to scroll in the first person so you can get the action response that you need that you typically associate with a first person shooter game. And then if you're more of a spellcaster or more of a different kind of weapons type of person or a swordsman, you might dial back out in a third person view, more of an action game type point of view and strike your enemies that way. It allows for online collaboration with other players to go tackle the tougher bosses in the game. So it truly is an online multiplayer game in the classic sense.
And again, when is this going to be available?
They're saying it'll be in the second half of 2007.
Okay. And where are people going to see this? Is this going to be able to come out in most retail stores or
retail,
online?
I'm not sure if they have a digital distribution plan for it or not. We'd love to see that. That's one of the great advantages to PC gaming, being able to buy a game and have instant gratification, download it the day it's available, not have to worry about whether it's on the shelf or whether you pre-bought the title at retail.
So what's your role in this, in the development of a game like this?
Well, Intel has the desire to make sure that the latest games that are coming out, you know, really fully take advantage and can scale anywhere from a single-core system all the way up to a quad-core system. So that a consumer who's looking for a new PC, you know, that wants to do multiple things on that PC, not just gaming, but also video editing, audio editing, the whole gamut, they can do all that. And then when they have their gaming experience, they can also have that game scale and really truly take advantage of the horsepower that's available in that PC. That's what Intel is working with Flagship Studios and other game developers to do, to deliver games that truly take advantage of the whole hardware architecture.
Okay. If folks, is there a preview online of this, or for folks to maybe see some screenshots of this? Or
sure. Yes, at Flagship Studios website, you'll find screenshots. You can even download wallpaper and videos of in-game footage to see exactly what the game's coming to look like. And I believe in the next month or so, they'll have their DirectX 10 previews out. You'll be able to see what that's going to look like as well.
Okay. Randy Studi works in the gaming strategy department at Intel. We've been sitting here. Tell me the name. Remind me the name of the game again.
Hellgate London.
Hellgate London. Coming out soon. You can check out some screenshots here. I'm probably going to take a couple of pictures. We'll have them up on Flickr, on PodTech. And Randy, thanks for talking with us today on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Michael.